Good morning. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I'd like to read for devotional out of Psalms chapter 40. It's a Psalms that is very familiar, and last while I've been thinking a bit about hope, the hope that we have in God, and how what it means to us, what it does for us. And when I read this chapter, I'm not sure when it was recently too, that I had to think about that again. And when I was studying it, a couple of things really stuck out to me. One was the prophecy, I guess you would call it, in David's words, and the fact that God used David to describe very well, I think, a Christian's life, a sinner's life, a Christian's life. And now how that definitely it was the Holy Spirit working through David to write these verses. And they're very encouraging to me, and it really blessed me. I'd like to start reading in the first verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know, David was describing something in his life that he was reflecting back on. I don't know if it was a sin, possibly, sounded like it. But he used some pretty descriptive words, a horrible pit, a miry clay. And to think of that, you know, even as descriptive as he was, I don't think there's any example of physical pain or anguish that we can go through that's as bad as being trapped in sin. Sin, being in sin, being trapped in sin is far worse than any physical thing that we can be caught in. But in verse 1, and this is what makes me relate it more to a Christian's life, is it said he waited patiently for the Lord. He was going through something. It didn't just come upon him and the next day it was over with. He waited on God. And why did he wait on God? He waited on God because he trusted in him. He hoped in God's faithfulness. He believed in God's faithfulness. And what is there for us? What is for us to trust in God? How do we know we can trust God? How do we know we can have faith in him? There's a verse in Romans 8:32 I'd like to read. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? You know, the fact that God gave his very best, his most prized possession, his only son to die for us, to give his life, to give salvation to us, that gives us faith and trust and confidence that God will always be there. You know, as husbands and fathers to our families, we have this love for our families that if something happens, we'd put ourselves in harm's way for our family. It's just something we would do. But I find in my life that as I'm living my life, it's hard always to live up to that in the small things in my life, to live up to the fact that I need to give my life for my family, give up my selfish desires and things. But God is not that way. He's perfect. His love, his care for us is genuine. He didn't just send his son, send his best to us and say, okay, now I'm going to walk away and leave you guys set. But that's the way he is. That's a really good example of how we can trust him, how we can believe in him and always come to him. And that's what I think David, again, I think through the work of the Holy Spirit, understood that. He believed that in God, that he would trust in him. Let's read on from verse 3 down to maybe verse 11. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than they can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord, let the loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. This is what I was thinking, that David is definitely reflecting back on something in the past that he did. And the gratefulness that he felt for God is showing up in his life. First of all, in verse 3 it says, he put a new song in his heart, in his mouth, redemption. When we remember what God did for us, when we are forgiven from our sins, when we fall into something and God brings us out of it, He redeems us, and it brings us life. In verse 4, he talks about the blessings that God gives to us. And in verse 5, we see our gratefulness. We remember how great that we are grateful for all that God has done for us. You know, and all we can think about is our sin, the things that are around us, the things that discourage us. It's hard to see the blessings of God. It's hard to be grateful for what God has done. But when we have reflect on what God has done, when we remember what He saved us from, then all of a sudden it seems like everything we see around, we see that God work in it. And in verse 6, this is again talking about what happens when we are redeemed, when we're saved, renewed. We understand what God's will is. In verse 6 it says, sacrifice and offerings thou did not desire. My ears hast thou opened. We hear God's will. We can understand what He wants. And then in verse 8 it says, we delight in doing His will. Not as something that we have to do, but it's something that we want to do. And then we obey. In verse 9 and 10, he talks about preaching and teaching and being a witness. In verse 11, he understands His grace and mercy. He remembers His grace and mercy from God. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. But the battle still goes on. I know in my heart, in my life, yeah, it's wonderful to remember what God has done for me and is still doing for me. But I still live in a fallen world and I still have myself that I have to deal with. And the devil is still there. He's still tempting me. And so I have to continue to call on God. But verse 16, let all that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You know, what God saved us from wasn't just, He didn't just save us so that we didn't have to go to hell. But He saved us so that we didn't have to live in sin here on earth. And, you know, when we sin, it brings shame. And to live in shame all our life is a very bad thing, is a very poor thing. But the knowledge and the act of our sins forgiven gives life and hope. It brings gratitude. And here he says, let the Lord be magnified. And in verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. David was a powerful king, very, very powerful king. But he was always, he says in this verse, I'm poor and needy. Before God, before his own self, he's seen his need. I wonder if we could sing a song instead of a prayer. Eric, would you mind leading the song 861? It goes along, I think it's brought out, or it was written from this very verse, or this chapter.